The purity of a person's odd depends upon the purity of his spirit, and since most people, because of their impure spirits, already have quite enough impure odd to offer sufficient openings to evil, it is most important to not add more impure terrestrial odd through the consumption of unclean food. God therefore had very important reasons for forbidding the eating of the meat of unclean animals. The influence of the powers of evil was particularly strong in those days, owing to the widespread idolatry, and God wanted to protect the people he had chosen as the bearers of his faith against this pernicious influence. For the same reason he issued the numerous rules to govern those cases in which the Israelites came into contact with impure odd, and were considered unclean in consequence. 94. The odd of clean, unblemished animals, however, was not sufficient by itself for the preparation of the odic mixture needed for the tabernacle. Also the purest odd that could be procured from plants and minerals was needed. The odd of flowing myrrh, of cinnamon, calamus, cassia, rye bread, flour, wine and olive oil was mixed with that of spices like stacte, onycha and galbanum, pure frankincense and salt. Thus it became a sweet smell for the Lord. You know from what I have taught you what is meant by sweet smell for the Lord, you know that the purest odd likewise emits the sweetest odor. The odic mixture for the tabernacle was prepared by God's spirits in a state of purity corresponding to that of the spirit that manifested itself. The chemists of the beyond were those beings that you call cherubs. That is why their image was placed above the cover of the Ark of the Covenant in the form of golden statues and was also embroidered on the curtains and carpets. Inasmuch as the odd was collected above the cover of the Ark and was used for God's Spirit to speak, the odd had to be prepared in the immediate vicinity of the Ark, for the source of odd must always be in close proximity to the Spirit that needs it. Hence the altars and the tables on which the various offerings were made ready were close to the curtain behind which the Ark of the Covenant stood. The collection, holding together and condensation of the odd was facilitated by the fact that the Ark was in a space enclosed by carpets and a curtain. You, too, when you desire to collect odd in quantity and to achieve a high degree of condensation, make use of a so-called cabinet, within which Oratus entrance the medium, who is the source of the odd, sits. The laws governing spirit communication with mankind are the same everywhere. The fact that the wings of the two cherubs at both ends of the Ark of the Covenant were extended like a roof further contributed to holding the cloud of odd together above the Ark and Sar. The great strictness of the injunctions for keeping any impure odd well away from the tabernacle also served another purpose. If the pure and very powerful odic currents produced in the tabernacle by the spirits of God were allowed to come into contact with impure currents, the bearer of the impure odd would be killed by the high voltage currents, just as surely as anyone who comes into contact with terrestrial high voltage electric current without proper insulation will die. For this reason Aaron was not allowed to enter the sanctuary whenever he pleased, but only after the condensation of the odd above there. 95. Ark was completed and the high voltage currents employed for the purpose had been turned off. He was told when he could enter. Had he not heeded the instructions, he too would have been killed, as were his two sons when they violated the laws for keeping the preparation of the odd pure during the burning of the ingredients. After what you have just learned, the laws concerning sacrificial offerings and the outfitting of the tabernacle will appear to you in a far different light than heretofore. 96. Mediums. Many were the occasions and fashions in which God used to speak to our fathers through the prophets. Hebrews 1:1. In the days when men sought God from their inmost hearts, their communication with God's spirit world was a direct one. Most individuals possessed the natural qualifications needed for such spirit communication. Their own spirit, attuned to what was lofty and divine, was capable of receiving messages from the spirit world through spiritual sight, hearing and feeling. This was the same as what you call clairvoyance, clairaudience, and clairsentience today. No intermediaries were needed to transmit the messages from the beyond. These gifts disappeared as mankind turned away from God and devoted all its thoughts and care to worldly things. In their excessive pursuit of money and other worldly goods, people forgot God. This not only severed the communication with the good spirit world, but caused those gifts that had made spirit communication possible thereto to fade away. Today the majority of mankind has come so far that it no longer even thinks about or believes in the possibility of such communication. There are relatively few people today who possess the gifts in question and who are in touch with the world of good spirits the way the God-fearing folks of old were. But the time is coming when things will again be as they formerly were in this respect, that is to say, when each individual can communicate with the beyond via spiritual seeing and hearing. Until that time, however, those who still believe in God may communicate with spirits through another channel, and many who do not believe in God may witness the workings of the spirit world with their corporeal senses, and thereby be roused in their hearts to return to a belief in God, in the beyond, and in the continuation of life after the death of the body. For this purpose God gave mankind of today so-called mediums. The meaning of this term has already been made clear to you, but since a correct understanding of the nature of mediums is among the most important points in the domain of spirit communication, I do not want to neglect to instruct you thoroughly in this particular. I shall confine myself to 97. Discussing human mediums, omitting those cases in which animals may serve as mediums. Mediums are intermediaries, or human instruments, employed by the spirit world to communicate with mankind. Inasmuch as the spirit beings require odic power for this purpose, mediums are human beings who serve the spirit world as sources of odic force. It is chiefly their own odd that mediums surrender to the spirits manifesting themselves. The mediums are, however, at the same time collectors of the odd contributed by the non-mediums in attendance at so-called spiritistic seances. Just as sometimes happens in building an aqueduct, when the water from the main spring is supplemented by that of many smaller springs in order to increase the output, so the medium's capacity to supply odd is increased by adding in the weaker oddic power of the other persons present. While all people possess oddic power, in most cases it is too closely bound to the body to be surrendered readily. Hence it is not available to the spirit world in adequate strength. People suitable to function as mediums are highly sensitive. This means that because of the ease with which their odd can be dissolved, the impressions made upon them are much deeper than in the case of other people. This is not a sickly state, as your scientists think, and has no relation to nervousness, hysteria or lack of willpower. On the contrary, good spirits cannot use nervous, irresolute or sick persons as mediums. A good medium has more willpower, stronger nerves and better physical health than other people. Mediums are divided into different types according to the purpose for which their odic power is employed by the spirit world. 1. If this power is used to raise or lower a table or to cause it to emit traps, the medium employed in this connection is called a table medium. The raising and lowering or the rapping of the table are used as a sign language for obtaining messages from the spirit world. This is the lowest form of spirit communication, for the spirits that appear at table tipping seances are almost without exception those of a low order. The high spirit world does not choose this manner of communication. Thus it happens that at such gatherings the low spirits that appear often carry on much mischief, occasionally assisted by the tricks of the participants. Unfortunately, table tipping with its partly laughable, partly untruthful. 98. Manifestations does much to discredit also the higher forms of spirit communication. Those who seek God and friends of the truth will therefore shun communication of this kind and choose only methods worthy of high goals. 2. When messages from the spirit world are conveyed through the writing of a human being, that person is called the writing medium. The manner in which the writing is accomplished differs widely among the writing mediums. In one case, the thoughts are inspired into the fully conscious medium and written down by him, or her. He is therefore also known as an inspirational medium. Another medium's hand may be guided at the same time as the words he writes are inspired into his spirit, all the while he is fully conscious of his actions. Simultaneous inspiration is necessary in those cases where the medium offers too much resistance to the guidance of his hand. Others know only that they are writing, but are quite unaware of the content of their writing. Still others write in a state of complete unconsciousness. They know neither that they are writing nor what they are writing. Moreover, it frequently happens that one and the same writing medium will write in several of these ways. So-called direct writing is substantially different from the above type of mediumistic writing, being produced by the spirit itself, which makes use only of the odic force of the medium and not of the latter's hand. By means of the odic takes from the medium, the spirit materializes its own hand, and with it writes upon a surface that is not in contact with the medium, like a slate, a sheet of paper, or something similar. The amount of odd required for this method is significantly greater than when the medium's hand is used in writing. You are familiar with two examples of direct writing from the Bible. The tablets bearing the commandments were written on Mount Sinai by the hand of God, as related in the books of Moses. The tablets were the work of God Himself, and the writing inscribed on the tablets was God's own writing. Exodus 32:16. When King Belshazzar celebrated a great feast with his lords and drank out of the sacred vessels that his father had stolen from the temple in Jerusalem, while singing songs of praise to his idols, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the whitewashed wall of the royal hall across from the chandelier, so that the king saw the back of the hand as it wrote. Daniel 5:5-99. The medium's hand may also be used for drawing or for painting instead of for writing. In this case, the mediums are called drawing or painting mediums, the general process being the same as with the writing. 3. Another type of writing mediums are the so-called planchette mediums. A planchette is a slab of wood, metal or other material upon which are marked the letters of the alphabet, numbers and other symbols. The surface of the planchette is smooth, so that an object may readily be slid about upon it. The medium, who retains full consciousness, lays his hand on some easily movable object resting on the slab that has a point or pointer. He then waits until the object is moved towards the letters. The pointer indicates, one after another, the individual letters that will, when put together, spell out words and sentences. The planchette medium sits with his eyes closed or, better still, blindfolded, so that he cannot see the letters himself, since otherwise there is a danger that he might help along the motion of his hand and thus reproduce his own thoughts. The most famous of all planchettes was the breastplate on the ephod, outer garment, of the high priest, who was himself the medium. In your modern translation of the Bible, this breastplate is referred to as the oracle plate because it was used by the Israelites when they asked of God. It was in the shape of a square and consisted of four rows of precious stones, the first row being composed of a sardius, a topaz and a carbuncle, the second of an emerald, a sapphire and a diamond, the third of a jacinth, an agate and an amethyst, and the fourth of a chrysolite, an onyx and a jasper. Exodus 39:9-13. On each stone was engraved a character, corresponding to the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. They thus formed a kind of alphabet. Precious stones were used because they possess strong odic force and thus strengthened the high priest's mediumistic power. Between the stones was a wide, smooth groove of gold without corners or edges. A part of the equipment was the so-called forehead plate, a holy diadem of gold engraved with the words, "Dedicated to the Lord." This was fastened to the headband with a cord of purple, and was the most important of the objects used in consulting the Lord. Hence it bore the inscription "Dedicated to the Lord" with good reason. Exodus 39:30-31. Whenever he asked of God, the high priest untied the lower edge of the breastplate from the ephod and brought the breastplate into a horizontal position. He then removed the engraved plate of gold, or diadem, from the 100 headband and laid it into one of the grooves between the precious stones. Then he held his hand over the breastplate, without touching either it or the diadem that rested upon it. The very strong odic force of the high priest was used by God's spirit world to set the golden diadem in motion. It glided along the grooves, touching in sequence, with a small eyelet by means of which it was fastened to the headband, those stones whose characters were to be joined into a word. When a word had thus been spelled out, the diadem glided to the right edge of the breastplate, where it struck a small bell to indicate that the word was complete. When the words had been put together to form a complete sentence, the diadem slid both to the right and then to the left side of the breastplate, striking the bells on both sides in succession. This double signal indicated the conclusion of a sentence. In this way, all possibility of error was eliminated, since no character belonging to one word could be moved to the preceding word, and no word from a preceding sentence could be moved to a following one. Inasmuch as this method excluded any possibility of misunderstanding God's answer, the diadem and the bells were known collectively as the sacred lots, symbols of truthfulness and clarity. In the Hebrew text they are called the Urim and Thummim, words that also mean truth and clarity. In the days of the kings of Israel, the breastplate of judgment was often used when people asked of God, the priests acting as mediums. David in particular thus appealed to God in almost all important matters through the priest Abiathar, making use of the breastplate, and by means of it receiving God's answer. 4. The most important of the mediums for communicating the truth are the speaking mediums as soon as they have been trained to be deep trance mediums. A medium is said to be in a deep trance when his own spirit has completely left his body. In this state the medium is like a corpse, the only difference being that its spirit, which has left the body, is still connected to its body by a band of odd, whereas with a corpse the connecting band of odd is missing. Through this band of odd the medium's body receives enough life force from the out-of-body spirit to keep its organs functioning. It is along this band of odd also that the spirit of the medium makes its way back into its body. In the place of its out-of-body spirit, another spirit being enters the body of the speaking medium and delivers its message by using the medium's organs of speech. In doing so it makes use of the odic energies remaining in the medium's body after his spirit has left it. 101. Of course, a deep trance medium knows nothing of what the foreign spirit has said. When the medium's own spirit re-enters the body, consciousness returns and he feels as though he has been asleep. Hence you speak of the mediumistic sleep of deep trance mediums. It is of the greatest importance to those to whom a foreign spirit is speaking through a medium to know what kind of spirit has taken possession of the medium's body, whether it is a high or a low, a good or an evil spirit. For this reason I advise everyone to test the spirits in order to learn whether they were truly sent by God, or whether they are evil. This can be done by making them swear in the name of God as to their identity and to where they are from. A good spirit will take this oath, an evil one will not. If you are dealing with a good spirit, it will inform, admonish, instruct and advise you for your good. If, however, the spirit is an evil one, send it away at once, but first admonish it to turn to God and to pray to Him. If spirits enter a speaking medium that are of a low, severely suffering type, but are of good will, it is your duty to teach them about their condition, to direct them toward God and to pray with them. In this way you will be doing a great kindness to many of these poor souls, as you call them, and they will be grateful to you for it ever after. The duty of testing the spirits was emphasized by the apostles when they preached to the early Christians. Every Christian community was carefully instructed in the matter. Equally well informed in this domain were the people of the Old Testament. 5. Apport mediums are generally also deep trance mediums whose odic force is used by the spirit world to transfer material objects into enclosed spaces from outside them, or from within such spaces to the outside. The deep trance state is necessary in most cases, since the spirits require all of the medium's physical odd in order to make these apports possible, as the object supported must be dissolved into odd in the one place, and recondensed into substance in the other. There are, it is true, mediums who are able to release enough odd to effect apports without going into a deep trance, especially if several powerful mediums are used simultaneously as sources of odd. Although you cannot physically perceive the extremely high heat that is developed by the odic currents for the purpose of dematerializing matter, you can feel some of the heat that remains after the objects have been recondensed. An example may make this clear to you. There are so-called spook spirits, which occasionally apport stones, sand and the like from the street into the closed rooms of a house. They can do this only when they have enough odic force at their 102. Disposal to produce hot, high-voltage currents. With these they dissolve the matter of the objects and carry the dissolved odd into the rooms, where they recondense it into solid matter, which now feels hot to the touch, for although it has been recondensed by cold power currents, it retains part of the very great heat used in its dissolving, just as glowing steel, after being cooled in water, will remain hot for a considerable time. At times the medium's body itself is transported from one place to another, occasionally over great distances. This is also done by dematerializing the medium's body at one spot and rematerializing it into substance at the other. When, as related in the Old Testament, the prophet Habakkuk, together with the food he carried with him, was to be transported by an angel of the Lord to Daniel in the lion's den, the angel did not carry Habakkuk through the air as people seem to believe, but dematerialized him and all that he was carrying with him and rematerialized him at the lion's den. The same happened in the case of Philip, as related in the Acts of the Apostles, when he had enlightened and baptized the treasurer of Queen Candace of Ethiopia, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip off to Azotus. The Spirit dematerialized Philip's body, causing it to suddenly disappear before the treasurer's eyes, and rematerialized it in the city of Azotus. Acts 8, 39-40. Such happenings are beyond the comprehension of human beings because they cannot see the forces at work. The fact that matter and even bodies of living people can be dematerialized at one place and rematerialized elsewhere can no longer be denied, since well-authenticated instances of this phenomenon are too numerous to admit of such denial. The natural laws according to which these things happen should be abundantly clear to you after the explanation I have given. 6. In the case of materialization mediums, the medium's whole physical or dic force is used to enable one or more spirits to make themselves visible to human eyes. Since all of the medium's odd is needed, the medium's own spirit must be removed from its body. Depending on the amount of odd available, the foreign spirit uses it to envelop either its entire figure, that is to say, its whole body and all of its limbs, or only certain parts, like, for instance, its eyes, face or hands. If the materialization is to be complete enough to allow the materializing spirit to look like a terrestrial being, the medium's odd alone is not sufficient, and matter must be taken from his body and used in the odd state for the materialization of the spirit. On such occasions a medium loses as much body weight as it has surrendered in odd and matter to the foreign spirit. Your scientists have. 103. Determined this loss of weight by means of automatic scales, on which they had placed the medium at the beginning of the investigation. Cases are known in which a materialization medium lost as much as 80 pounds within a few minutes. However, the surrendered odd and matter remain connected with the medium by means of the above-mentioned band of odd and flow back into the body of the medium when the spirit is dematerialized again. That is why you see the materialization always take place near the medium. You may often notice, also, that the motions of a materialized spirit are accompanied by similar motions on the part of the medium, for the connection between the medium and the materialized spirit is a very close one. If your hands and arms were bound together with those of someone else by means of tightly drawn cords, and if you were to gesticulate with your own limbs, you would cause the other person to make similar gestures with his. The materialized spirit and the medium are bound together in analogous manner by spiritual odic bands. This intimate connection between the medium and the materialized spirit explains another phenomenon which your scientists also find incomprehensible, namely, the different odors often diffused by mediums during materialization. At times these odors are pleasant, at other times they are a stench or the smell given off by a decomposing corpse. These odors depend on the nature of the spirits materialized by means of the medium's odd. When I spoke to you about odd, I explained that it assumes an odor in keeping with the qualities of the spirit it surrounds. The odd taken from a medium and used by a spirit for its materialization therefore assumes an odor corresponding to the nature of that spirit, and since the materialized odd of the spirit remains closely connected with the medium, the spirit's odic scent is transmitted to the medium as well. This gives the impression that the medium himself is the cause of the pleasant or unpleasant smell, whereas the smells really come from the spirits that materialize themselves with the medium's odd. 7. There is yet another type of medium. These mediums are not good for mankind, as they are used chiefly by evil spirits. They are the so-called physical mediums. The spirits use the odic power of such mediums to move objects that are near the medium. Tables, chairs, utensils of all kinds rise and float from one spot to another, instruments begin to play, a trumpet rises into the air and blares, a nearby drum sounds beats, bells fly across the room and ring, and countless similar things happen. It goes without saying that good spirits do not behave in this way, for it is not the task of the good spirit world to produce phenomena intended. 104. Only to satisfy man's obsession with extraordinary experiences. Mind you, this is true of some manifestations that occur with other mediums also, but it is not the case as often with them as with the physical mediums. You ask to what purpose the low spirits hold such a carnival at modern spiritistic seances, or why indeed they are allowed to do so. To this I can only reply that low spirits have the same free will as low and wicked people. Just as the latter are left free to act as they please, so no restrictions are placed upon the liberties of the former, at least not up to a certain point. True enough, they do not have complete freedom, for if they did, they would do mankind even more harm than they do now. For man's goal is to reach God, and, considering this goal, God has set bounds to the activities of evildoers. But even the carnival of evil, as you have called it, that goes on at today's spiritistic meetings frequently has a good effect in spite of everything. For today, when there are so many people who do not believe in God, the beyond, the spirit world and survival after death, it does some good that they should witness such things, if only because it makes them think about these matters, to become insecure in their disbelief and to begin to search for the truth. This statement applies to everything that happens at the spiritistic meetings of today, from levitation and table rapping to the physical phenomena and spirit materialization. Even if for most people their interest in these things springs only from a craving for experiencing something sensational, it often happens that they do retain the impression that supernatural forces must exist. Even if this result leaves much to be desired, it is at least better than if those individuals had never been reminded about the beyond. What mankind does need, and needs badly, is a thorough explanation of the nature of spirit communication and of the manner in which communication can be established with the good spirit world. This is to be your life work, and for this reason you are receiving all of these teachings. They are not meant for you alone, but for your fellow human beings as well. They are your brothers and sisters, and it is your duty to teach them these facts. When people have been taught how to seek communication with the good spirit world, every spiritistic gathering will become an inspiring divine service. 8. Your scholars include among the mediums those individuals who have the gifts of clairvoyance and clairaudience. This is not correct. It is true that clairvoyance, clairaudience and clairsentience have mediumistic powers, but they are not true mediums. With them, it is their own spirit that 105. Is active, that sees and hears, whereas in real mediums it is a foreign spirit that acts while the medium spirit is temporarily dispossessed. Although the gifts of clairvoyance and clairaudience do indeed enable the spirit of a human being to see and hear the spirits about him, a clairvoyant is not an instrument of these spirits and is therefore not a medium. The spirit of a person endowed with clairvoyance, clairaudience and with supernatural powers of smelling, tasting and feeling owes these abilities exclusively to the fact that it can detach itself from the body to a greater or lesser degree. A spirit so detached and partly withdrawn from the body becomes independent of the body's physical senses and assumes the faculties and properties of a discarnate spirit, seeing, hearing and feeling in the manner of spirits of the beyond, according to the extent to which it is detached from its body and according to the purity of the odd surrounding the spirit. This purity of odd is of particular importance to clairvoyance, for one cannot see clearly through impure glass. By the same token, The spiritual powers of spirits of the beyond vary greatly according to the composition of their auric body. Some of these spirits can see, hear and feel things that other spirits are unable to detect. The same is true of human beings gifted with clairvoyance, clairaudience and clairsentience. Also they possess these faculties in countless degrees of keenness, from the most rudimentary to the highest.